At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
A warmer, friendly hello. Welcome to lovely Las Vegas for Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pierce, and now part of the VSiN family of podcasts. We're going to be keeping this a two-part conversation as we're going to be joined by my good friend, Eli Becker. He does a great job over there at HeatCheckCBB. He is the founder of that great organization. He's doing some great work with the Almanac. That's a little bit of a collaboration between the three-man weave, HeatCheckCBB, and the Field of 68, getting you guys set for the upcoming college basketball season. A very useful guide for taking a look at all things college basketball. He's going to be joining me in the second segment. We're going to be talking a little bit about some of the teams that he has evaluated and some of the teams that he's feeling a little bit more bullish on with his research. But on top of that, we've got a lot of Big 12 action to talk about. We're only going to be keeping it to two segments because we're really going to be hitting upon the two big topics that we've seen over the last 48 hours in college basketball. Damian Baugh, he's over at TCU, averaged 10.5 points, 4.5 assists per game for them last season, a starting guard. He is currently facing a suspension for entering into the NBA draft and then pulling his name out because he was apparently represented by some agent that wasn't necessarily cleared by the NCAA. So we're going to get Eli's thoughts because he is appealing a suspension. We don't know how long the suspension is, so we're going to be talking with him about how long he thinks it might be, what impact that might have on TCU, and then Fadaz Zamek, one of the top transfers in the portal this season. He averaged right around 19 points, 13.5 boards, and at 6'11", shot over 40% from three-point range at Utah Valley last season. He is going to be out with a broken foot for many months. We don't know if he's going to be playing too much, if at all, this season, and how that impacts Texas Tech and just how brutal the Big 12 is in general. So the ramifications of that. So that's why we're going to be keeping it to two segments because, well, the big news, we are going to be hitting upon all that with our good friend Eli. And if you do have a question, comment, segment, idea, what have you for this podcast, you've got one or two ways we'll fire those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at @JNR41. Keep in mind, letters DM, name does not matter. So as per usual, please send these into the timeline. The other way, that is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to find whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. You got to get in one break in this podcast, so we'll take it right about now, and then we'll just take a commercial free the rest of the way, talking with Eli all about the happenings in the Big 12 and so much more next year on Coast to Coast Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Pearson, now a part of the VSiN family podcast.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Las Vegas for discussing with myself, Craig Eames Pearson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast, and it is always great to be joined by this guest, as Eli Becker is a founder over at HeatCheck CBB. He does absolutely amazing work, being able to follow everything college basketball all 12 months out of the year. I know that he's doing great work with the Almanac, which that's a little bit of a collaboration with the Field of 68. HeatCheck CBB, along with our good friends over at the Three Man Weave, he, much like myself, out here on the West Coast, and also doing great work with Athletic Director U and All Access Network. And to be able to follow Eli on Twitter, that is at his last name, Boetger, B-O-E-T-T-G-E-R, and underscore, and his first name, Eli. And it is always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me on, Greg. It was a good time to talk some college hoops.
It is always a pleasure to have you aboard. And, well, we've got to talk about this first. We saw the devastating news right around Thursday evening that Fadas Amick, the transfer from Utah Valley, seems like he's going to be out for quite a while from Texas Tech because he's got a lingering issue, and that's just not great in general, because for Texas Tech, they did a great job, in my opinion, in the transfer portal. He breaks his foot, averaged 19 points, 13.5 rebounds per game at Utah Valley, and at 6'11", shot somewhere in the neighborhood about 42-43% from three-point range. How much do we need to adjust our pro ranking on Texas Tech coming into the upcoming season? Because I feel like this is a very devastating injury, and you feel for the kid.
Yeah, I would say that typically I am cautiously optimistic when teams do have substantial injuries. I do think that in large part, sometimes we can be a little bit too of a knee-jerk reaction to these types of injuries, but I will say, unfortunately, in this case, this is a pretty devastating one. And the reason being is that Texas Tech's depth, at least in the front court, is probably one of their X factors or one of the softer spots in this lineup. With AMAC removed from this lineup for at least the foreseeable future with a broken foot, it says the report said that it was several months that AMAC will be out. The depth behind him is pretty suspect. I'd say that Daniel Bacho is probably the most likely replacement, or now the most likely starting five within the Texas Tech lineup, but this is a pretty substantial downgrade. I don't think it's really sugarcoating it here. Bacho is a great rebounder. He showed that. He displayed that last year as a freshman. He had great offensive and defensive rebounding rates, but as far as offensive skill set, Bacho's got a long, long way to go. And even in the 33 games he played last season, this was not a guy who had much of an on-court impact from a scoring perspective. He wasn't necessarily inefficient, but just did not take many shots. He wasn't really a truly impactful player and did much to assert himself from a scoring output perspective. So I don't necessarily know that Mark Adams is really ever going to have a team that runs inside out necessarily, but I do think what this does for Texas Tech is it's going to put more pressure on guys like Kevin O'Banner to step up and make a substantial impact. And O'Banner was solid last year. I think that this was kind of a transition year from him to go from the Summit League at Oral Roberts, where he was an extremely productive player and did it at a very high rate and high efficiency. Transitioned over to the Big 12, and he made significant strides on the defensive end, but now we'll have to see him score more than 10 points a game and shoot better than 33% from deep. He's going to have to produce quite a bit more than that just to take some of the load off, because Fardaz Amak was going to have a substantial impact on this team, and I just don't love the depth behind him and even behind Bacu, because you can't have a big man especially play 40 minutes a night. So there are going to be nights where Texas Tech is going to have players no taller than 6'8" play significant minutes down low. And in the Big 12, not necessarily size matters overall all the time. And I think with Texas Tech, especially given this program track record of defensive success and playing a lot bigger than the measurables will indicate, I don't think that's necessarily such a big deal on the defensive end. But as far as scoring production and putting points on the board, Texas Tech struggled mightily in that category this past season, and this obviously doesn't make things any easier with AMAC being out, and especially being a big man, a broken foot, that is not a formula for success and an easy road back. So you wish AMAC the best, because he is such a productive player, and I think so many college basketball fans wanted to see what he can do on the biggest stage, because he has been so productive for so long at the mid-major level. So hopefully we get a chance to see him play this year. But either way, it's a devastating injury for Texas Tech.
Yep, no question about it. I think that this is going to be very devastating for them moving forward. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Eli Becker. He does a great job over there at eCheckCBB. And the reason why I do think it's so devastating is that the Big 12 in general is just such a nightmarish conference, with just every team in this conference being locked and loaded. I've got Kansas State as my dead last team in this conference, and even Kansas State, if they were in the Pac-12, I would have them in the top half of the Pac-12. But in terms of the Big 12, I do feel like we need to lower Texas Tech just a little bit in terms of our power rankings. Now, I felt like Kansas and Baylor were already ahead of Texas Tech to start with coming into the season. That's just me personally. I thought that Texas Tech was going to be somewhere in between number 3 and number 4. But I think ranking them now in an absolutely brutal Big 12 is going to be very difficult, because no question, they're still above a team like an Iowa State, for example. But some of those, shall we say, more middle of the road Big 12 teams like a Texas, I think now might have a case to be ahead of a Texas Tech if Fardaz Amak cannot come back this season / very late in the season.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably, it has to be the most competitive league in college basketball, and it has been the last handful of years. It's just so challenging to string multiple wins together. We've seen that from the very best teams in this league. It's challenging when you're playing a top 20 or top 30 opponent every single night in the conference, and then you lose a player who is as productive as Fardaz Amak is, and that makes things just especially challenging. But even against, say, Oklahoma State, that has just all the athleticism in the world, I don't think Oklahoma State is projected to be much more than a top half team in the Big 12. If that, even the Pokes, they roll out 7-foot Musa Cisse, who's one of the best defenders in the conference. Caleb Boone is an excellent kind of stretch guy at 6'9". There's a lot of talent on that roster, and this is a team that probably isn't going to be picked to finish higher than, say, 6th or 7th in the conference. Iowa State, too, we were shocked by what they mustered this past season. It was not a program that we were expecting much out of this past season, especially coming off just a 2-win year. And it was one of the best teams in the Big 12 this past year. And they have a pretty substantial incoming transfer class. Jaron Holmes makes the trip over. So does Oshun Oshuni from St. Bonaventure. Those guys are both extremely productive. I think they should translate pretty well to the Big 12 level. But I do think, and we've discussed Kansas State on this podcast as well, even with a player of, say, Marquise Knowles' talent level, or even Desi Sills and Keontae Johnson, who should be able to make at least some of an impact this year. That's kind of what the barometer is just for finishing, say, 8th or 9th in the Big 12. So it's a slippery slope this time of year, and we've seen a few rosters now damaged by some untimely injuries. So we hope that Fardaz Amak can come back strong and as quickly as possible, because it just is more fun when the very best players are playing. And I think for Texas Tech's case, which is a extremely proud program that has done awesome work the last 5+ years or so, that is a rowdy, rowdy place to play. And I think they're going to be even more fired up because at the end of the day, this is going to lower at least the external expectations that a lot of people have for Texas Tech. And we know what the Red Raiders fan base, that is a proud group of people. They're not going to take lightly, even though this is a pretty significant development here late in the offseason.
Yep. And when it comes to the Big 12 as well, something else that is very interesting is that I do feel like with Elfadas Amick, it's a case where you could make the argument that Texas Tech should be in the top two in terms of Big 12 teams in the state of Texas, and now they might lower to number four, even behind TCU, because I think that that's a fascinating case in which they're dealing with their own issues. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Eli Becker of HXCBB, because with TCU, right now they're dealing with Damian Baugh appealing an NCAA suspension because he signed with a non-certified agent while he was sort of testing the NBA draft waters, and we have no idea the extent of the suspension. We don't know how long it would be, what he's trying to appeal it down to, if he's trying to get it wiped out altogether. But when Damian Baugh was out on the court for TCU, this was a completely different team. Without him, you tell that the team was a little bit disjointed. And for TCU, just in general, if they're going to want to reach the heights that they are looking to, they absolutely need to get a little bit more scoring, because that's what held them back last year. A tenacious team on defense, a bunch that they would just absolutely swarm, but they need a little bit more three-point shooting. And Baugh, he's one of those better scoring options for TCU this season, along with a guy like a Chuck O'Bannon, who's been in college for about 57 years at this point. But when I take a look at TCU, I do think that this Damian Baugh situation is certainly something worth noting, because I think that this is also very impactful for the Big 12, because without Damian Baugh, TCU is still going to be a great defensive team, but they're going to be lacking a little bit of that punch on offense. And the strange thing with this is we just don't know the extent of what's happening with this.
It's an unknown, but I don't necessarily think that, and this is based entirely on just gut feel, knowing that we do see a player of Damian Baugh's caliber just about every year that kind of runs into the circumstance of some unusual agent situation, or maybe participating in an off-season event that wasn't NCAA certified. And I think those raise some eyebrows, but ultimately I don't really think that, at least given that this is in the similar stature of what we've seen in years past of similar storylines, that typically something like this isn't more than just a handful of game suspension, if that. Sometimes it isn't even that much. So unless something drastically develops with this situation, I think that long-term TCU will be fine. But and going back to your larger point with the Horned Frogs, as you touched on, this is a team that struggled to score the basketball, but even more importantly, take care of the basketball. There's a team that struggled mightily with turnover rate this past season, and they were able to kind of mask those issues given how dominant TCU was on the offensive boards, and guys like Eddie Lampkin figured into that effort mightily. So did Emmanuel Miller. They're able to generate a lot of second chance opportunities, but I think that is kind of negated when you give away the basketball so often, or you take ill advised shots. So we will see TCU try to take the next step, because I do think they need to be a lot better than in the 70-80 range in terms of offensive efficiency if they want to finish, say, top three, top four in the Big 12, which I think is a pretty realistic projection at this point, given what they have on paper. But it's going to take some of these guys to step up offensively, and I think Baugh is right there in the same category. He's not a guy who has at least shot jumpers very well. He shot just 27% from deep on 100 attempts last year. That's not going to get the job done. And although he's a very skilled passer, I think overall the shot making just has to be better. Overall, this team shot, I think, just north of 30% from deep and could not hit a free throw to save their souls at times. So I think TCU is high potential because of how well they defend. But as he touched on, they'll have to see quite a bit of offensive development, or I do think that they're probably going to lean closer to that 8-9 line like they were last season if they're not able to develop quite a bit. When you have about the same roster, then it means that, hey, a lot of these guys are going to have to step up and be better and more efficient offensive players than they were in the year prior, and sometimes that's a pretty big ask. So we'll see what happens with TCU, but I do think the top 15, top 20, I'd say, national rankings right now, I think that's a pretty accurate assessment of where they could be, or at least where they could end up by at least the time February, March comes around, assuming everything goes right, because this is a pretty high potential group at the end of the day.
Yep. Right now, a lot of people have them in their way too early top 25, towards the very bottom of that top 25, being able to just scrape in there. And I don't disagree with that. And just in terms of the Baugh suspension, would you say that maybe this fits into more or less the Yuli Child scenario, where he got nine games for that, or do you expect it to be actually a little bit even less than that?
You know, I mean, that's an interesting one with the Yuli Chiel situation, because even that one felt like a pretty heavy suspension given the nature of what happened. That's a pretty significant chunk of the year, almost a third of the entire regular season for what happened with Childs. I'd honestly be surprised if it's of that length, but I will say that everything has to be kind of taken with a grain of salt because there is so much that's unknown. I mean, the appeal for this suspension is for an undetermined amount of games, so we don't even really know what the initial suspension was. I don't necessarily know that that is a good sign or that is a bad sign. It really is tough to say with a lot of these situations. I do think that in most cases it's probably as hush-hush until something develops along the timeline, but I think just given that there is an appeal process, I'd imagine that if nothing else, this suspension will be met in the middle with probably a lower game total than what was initially imagined. But at this point, it really is just a lot of conjecture, and we won't really know until the final suspension, or if there is a suspension at the end of the day. We don't really know at this point, but I do think overall with TCU, so long as Damian Baugh is there, I do think this is going to be a competitive team that should, in all likelihood, finish in the top half of the Big 12 and could even finish in the top three or top four if everything breaks right for them.
I think that that'll be a very interesting ordeal, and we shall see how TCU does this season. And a Big 12 that we've talked about quite a bit here, going to be incredibly competitive. As joining me on the podcast, we do have Eli Becker of EchecksCBB. And Eli, I mentioned it a little bit earlier. I know that you're putting in some great work with regards to the College Basketball Almanac that's going to be coming out by you guys, along with the Field of 68 three-man weave within the next few days, within the next few weeks. And I know you've been hard at work at it. And with everything that you've been putting in terms of the Almanac, has there been a team or two that has leaped out in doing your research that you've been surprised by? Either maybe you thought they were a little bit better than when you dove into it and you realized, man, maybe I overrated this team a little bit, or vice versa. Maybe you were sleeping on a team that as you look at them a little bit more, you're feeling a little bit warmer about them.
Yeah, it's interesting. So I covered the Mountain West and the WAC for the Almanac. And these are two extremely competitive leagues out west that have put together some great seasons in recent years. And Mountain West has had their fair share of struggles in March. And the WAC, I think, is still trying to kind of settle into what their membership is going to look like moving forward. Of course, they lose Mexico State to the Conference USA this next year. So a lot of changing of the guard in the WAC in terms of membership. So ultimately, I guess to take a roundabout way to answer your question, I think with New Mexico State heading out of the door of the WAC in the next year, I do think it's an opportunity for the likes of a lot of these Texas schools. I think just to begin with, Stephen F. Austin, Abilene Christian, Tarleton's a program that is new to D1, but under Billy Gillespie, I think that's another program that's going to get things rolling here pretty quick. It's just such a competitive league, and I think one of the things that I've learned in covering this conference and speaking to a lot of these head coaches is there is just such a high priority on size and on athleticism, and especially on the defensive end of the floor, because as I might have stated once in a previous podcast, is the WAC had as many top 90 defenses this past season as the ACC, and that's a pretty substantial accomplishment when it's a one-bid league, and it's the Western Athletic Conference, which I believe ranked 30th in KenPom just a handful of years ago. So it's a really defensive-first, physical-type league, and I think a program that meets that mold that could surprise quite a bit this season is Stephen F. Austin. And even though they lose Gavin Kinsmill over the course of the offseason, also their starting point guard, David Echelrees, I think that the Lumberjacks could make some major noise this upcoming season. And Kyle Keller is one of the most underrated coaches in all of college basketball. He's just done a marvelous job with this program, and he's more than just the one-hit wonder who won the road game at Duke a handful of years back. He just plugs along and is able to make things work with this program. But I do think with Gavin Kinsmill, who's kind of been in that Draymond Green type role as a guy who's kind of a bruiser inside but also kind of plays on the elbows a little bit, I think it's going to be fascinating to see how they react and change quite a bit. They have a potential breakout guy in Sadadrian Hall, who they call Day Day, who's got, I'd say, all league talent. I think so long as he stays in an SFA uniform, I think he could be a reasonable player of the year caliber type guy. Jalen Jackson Posey, who's a pretty lanky guard. He was their sixth man this past season. He knows how to run offense, and he did some pretty impressive things this past season. So they've got a lot of these types of guys who were plugged into the lineup last year as freshmen or as underclassmen, because Stephen F. Austin just had so many injuries last year that now they've got a lot of young guys who are getting a year older and have quite a bit of experience under their belt, and in all intents and purposes are further along than I think Kyle Keller would have imagined. So this is kind of those teams that falls under the breakout category, because there are so many young guys who are developing, they've got experience under their belt, and I think this is a fascinating team to watch. So for all the College Hoops Insomniacs who want to watch WAC basketball this year, I think Stephen F. Austin is certainly one to keep an eye on, and they can reasonably contend for a WAC title and scare maybe a 5-seed or 4-seed in the NCAA tournament.
That entire WAC is going to be incredibly interesting, because Cal Baptist is a team that I'm high on. I like Grand Canyon. I like Stephen F. Austin. Abilene Christian gets back some of their top players from that 2021 team that made the NCAA tournament, as well as Joe Pleasant, who spent a year at Wichita State, returns, and that is going to be massive for them as well. You're able to go down the list in that conference, and it is going to be locked and loaded. Southern Utah, in every year under Todd Simon, their win total has either gotten better or stayed the same. So, yeah, that is going to be a tremendous conference, but not as tremendous as getting you on this podcast, my friend Eli. I know that you're doing great work over there at HXCBB. You've been putting in tremendous work in terms of the Almanac as well. So let the good people at home know they're able to follow you on social media and everything they've got going on in general.
Yeah, thanks so much, Greg. Always a good time hopping on and talking college hoops. We've got the Almanac coming out on Monday, and we are super thrilled to get this thing into all of our customers' hands. We've worked many months to put this thing together, and I do think it's going to be a great resource for college hoops fans who want a little bit of everything, whether it's rankings, whether it's best games this upcoming season, breakout guys, or just checking out team pages and conference previews. It's got a little bit of everything for the casuals and the diehards and everything in between. So we believe it's going to be a great resource for college hoops fans this upcoming season, and honestly, I can't wait to get my copy and being able to research all these teams that I didn't cover outside of the Mountain West and the WAC. So I've got a lot of researching and studying into these next couple of months, but I can't wait to dive into it. So please get a copy. You won't regret it. There's a lot of great info from every head coach in Division I basketball, and I think folks will be really excited to dive into that. So we're looking forward to it.
This is going to be an absolutely tremendous resource for all fans of college basketball. I know that Eli has worked incredibly hard on it, along with everyone involved with it, with the Field of 68, HXCBB, along with the three-man weave. And Eli, every single time he joins this podcast, lends tremendous insights, much like he did today. A big thanks to him for joining me on Cuscus Hoops, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And since we hit upon all the news and notes with Eli here in the second segment, we're just going to call it here and not waste any more of your time, because we've got a lot of things to get set for in terms of this college basketball season. I still got a lot of conference previews that are going to be getting churned out. Most likely going to have one up within the next 24 to 48 hours. A little bit undetermined as to which conference I'm going to be going to, but expect a conference preview sometime during the weekend. And if you do like what you're hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Hoops, you're able to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you've got a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, got one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter timeline, at JNNRS41. Keep in mind, letters EM, they mean does not matter. As per usual, please do send these into the timeline. The other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. From there, you're able to fire whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast. By that 5-star review, I'll be coming at you guys every single day on this podcast, and that means I'm coming at you guys once again tomorrow once we get in-season picks and analysis on every single game, every single day. So I appreciate you guys tuning in today, and I'll catch you once again tomorrow. Thank you.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.